Now, I need to stop here and emphasize something to you, because the land of Sidon is equivalent to the land in the parts of the places in Africa where the slaves were sold to the Western world. See, Sidon was a place where Israelites were sold to the Grecians. So for Jesus Christ to come in and say, well, the Father only sent Elijah here to this widow in this country. Sidon was supposed to be a part of the Promised Land, but they never inhabited it. They never took possession of Sidon. And so it would be like me coming in and preaching and talking to a group of former slaves who were holding on to whatever it is, frustration, hatred for a country or a town that sold his ancestors into slavery. And Jesus Christ comes into the synagogue and says, the Lord didn't send Elijah to anyone in Israel, but he sent it to this widow in Sidon. So you know what's happening, right? The children of Israel are starting to get excited a little bit in their seats, because this is not the truth. This is not their truth, I should say, that they wanted to hear. And he sent and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. So patriotism, you heard me talk about patriotism, right? Birthright. This is the one and only true God who's only really spoken to us, the children, and our forefathers. And we talk about Moses and we talk about Elijah, and they know all of that. But all of a sudden, Jesus Christ makes a right turn. He says, we sent Elijah here, not to you. Verse 27, and there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian. So now Jesus Christ comes counter to their truth with the truth. And you notice, even in the times of Elijah and Elisha, and this is what I love about going through the Gospel Project, we see even then, as we rehearse it now, that the good news was not only meant for one people, that it was meant for every people, even slave traders. How's that make you feel, African Americans? Is that a comfortable thing to think about? That God's love is so important. I'm an African American. You know, if I'm talking to somebody about slave trading outside the context of church, I start praying. Honestly, I'm praying for the right response. But Jesus, what about Jesus Christ and his truth, who says, I'm even for slave traders, even for people who you don't think are worthy, I am for them. That's the gospel of the good news. That's the truth, not their truth, that says we need a Savior who's going to come now and establish the kingdom now and get rid of this Roman yoke that we've been wearing all this time. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. I think that was an understatement. It's an understatement. And they rose up and drove him out of town. So if you can imagine, now all of a sudden they stood him up, or he stood up, and they start pushing him out of town. And they brought him to the brow of the hill on which their own town was built, so that they could throw him down off the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. He just went away. He disappeared. It wasn't his time. But we see a time when the truth comes in opposition of their truth. Jesus was rejected when preaching the gospel, so too were his followers, and we should rejoice in that. So when you read this, I want you to think about the truth, and I want you to think about their truth. Or I want you to think about their truth, and I want you to think about your truth. The truth, the truth and your truth. And are they walking side by side, or are they not? Turn to Matthew 5. We're going to read Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. If we are about speaking the truth, not our truth, or not someone else's truth, then these scriptures are going to be an encouragement to you. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." Because of righteousness. Who is righteousness? I can't hear you, church. Mm-hmm. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because you're short. Because you're not intelligent, because you're not beautiful, because of whatever your truth is." No, it's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, "Because of me." And who is me? Jesus. You can yell that out. You can say it loud. "Because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Excuse me, guys. I'm going to sit down because I'm not feeling the best right now. Just bear with me one second. Too much excitement in that car crash today. Still feeling it, drinking a lot of water. Hope you guys don't mind. All right. Cross my legs and get comfortable. "So rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." So remember, I talked about how we should be grateful for this type of rejection if we are being rejected for Jesus. The scriptures tell us, "Great is our reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they will prosecute you." Did you hear me? So some of you are being prosecuted out here. I've heard some of your stories. Some of you are being judged. Some of you are being rejected for him. And the scripture says you should be happy for that. Some of us are being rejected for other things besides who Jesus is. And then we have to rethink our truth if that's the case. Maybe we're not speaking the truth enough. Maybe we're not speaking it at all. Maybe we say the truth, but we're not really allowing the Holy Spirit to help us live the truth. And so our example is not really speaking of the truth like it should. Because if we're speaking it, then their truth, the truth that you see in the world, will come up against that. They don't want to hear who Jesus is. A lot of folks don't want to hear that the answer to the solution of racial tensions and sexism and all these other isms that we're dealing with is Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that. That's too passive. What do you mean, Jesus Christ, right? I want mine. I want what's mine. I want what belongs to me, right? I want my rights. I want to be recognized. I. Is that our language? Are we speaking the language of I, or are we speaking the language of Jesus? For when we speak the language of Jesus, then these things start to happen to us. Let's turn to John 15. Verses 19 through 23. John 15, verses 19 through 23, where the scripture says, "If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own." So here's the reality for all of us sitting here. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the world. So if we are loving the things in the world, then we've forgotten what our citizenship is and whose we are. It says, "But I have chosen you out of the world." So we've been chosen to be different. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's not a question of if. It just isn't. It's a question of when. It's a question of when, because we are still in the world, but we're not of it in that sense. So we preach the citizenship that we belong to, and that's Jesus. And we know that this world is antithesis to who Jesus is. "If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." Verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. All right, so here's our admonition. Here's our admonition when we think about the prosecution, or we think about the rejection that comes from Jesus. Here's our admonition, and this is why we should rejoice in that. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll start reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry." But think about that for a second. Think about those words, mercy. It's merciful to us to have this ministry. If you think about our lives outside of this ministry, outside of knowing who Jesus is, it's better to have this ministry. It's better to have the truth. It's better to live and walk in this truth. A little help's on the way here. It's better to live in this truth than to live outside this truth. So it's merciful to all of us to be living in this truth. We do not, it says, "Therefore, since through this God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we recommend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the light, in the sight of God." Verse 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled," the truth, even if the truth is veiled, "it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." Verse 5, "For what we preach is not of ourselves." So we don't preach our message. It's not in ourselves, but it's Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. So that's who we are, servants for Jesus' sake. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." It's from God and not from us. So we are imperfect vessels, or as it says here, vessels of clay, jars of clay. And yet we inhabit this Jesus, right? And so we know then that if we're inhabiting the truth in this Jesus, then we know that we can only inhabit this because of this Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you follow me, church? Does that make sense to you? So this is how we're to live our lives. Yes, we're imperfect. Yes, we have foibles. Yes, we stumble. But God has chosen to use us and work in us anyway, because he has given us the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when we get up and we proclaim who he is, we proclaim him in that power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid of this earthen clay that we see every day. I'm sitting down now because I'm probably shook up. Somebody gave me some cranberry juice, which is probably what I need, because my blood sugar probably dropped a little bit, right? So I'm standing here, and I know that I'm proclaiming this to you not because I'm strong, you know, not because, you know, I get up here, I know what I got to say is good every week. I'm only doing this by the grace of God. You're only here by the grace of God. You can only say the name of Jesus by the grace of God. Amen? So we should be glad for the mercy that God has given us for this ministry. And that ministry is to proclaim the name of God, who was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you happy for that responsibility? And the scripture is telling us you should be glad, because our treasures are up, not in Bank of America, not in M&T or Wells Fargo. That's right. I work at Wells Fargo, a bank at Bank of America. I don't know what that says. My wife said M&T. I don't know what that says, but I think you get the drift. Not because my treasures are bound up there. I got some coins in there, but I know that my livelihood has nothing to do necessarily. My survivability has nothing to do necessarily with what my bank account says, but my treasures in heaven. In Jesus, I know where my survivability is, right? And so we have to learn how to trust him. We have to know how to walk with him. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. It says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. How many of you have been hard pressed recently? Right? The scripture says you're hard pressed, but you're not crushed. This is the truth, church. This is the truth that we got to walk in. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. How many of us are confused? Right, but the scripture says, "You don't be in despair, persecuted but not abandoned." I'm thinking of a song right now. That song that sings this: "You've been persecuted, but you're not been forgotten. You're not abandoned." Jesus Christ, he knows all. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for he is with you. Yeah, that's the gospel, church. That's the gospel of people who are in need. We got plenty of people in our lives. You don't have to stand up here and do what I'm doing. You don't have to go out on the corner of Lower Baltimore and Liberty Road and proclaim a gospel on a soapbox. You can call your family up if they need it, and you can talk to them about who Jesus is. And you can tell them, you're pressed on every side. You are persecuted but not abandoned. Pressed down but not destroyed. For that's what the scriptures tell us today. We are all, verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For me to live is Christ to die is gain. It's gain. Verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. So in these earthen clays that we're living in, that's given over to death so that Christ may live in us, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So in order for him to be revealed, we got to get out the way. We can't keep wanting to stand up and believing their truth or believing your truth and preaching that truth. We have to preach the truth. And boy, I tell you, from some that I've spoken to, again, I think of the woman who's in my wife's life and has been there for years. And my wife has invited her to church for years. And I'm just of the belief that she doesn't need church right now. She just simply needs to hear the word Jesus and the name Jesus, and that she is the beloved daughter of the Father. Because her whole life she's heard something else, right? And she just shows up at my wife's office one day and has become a really good friend of ours. And she continues to proclaim that truth, the truth, to her. And you know what? She lives by another truth, right? But here's the funny thing. She still keeps coming back because there's something there, right? There's something there. And we don't push our own agenda on this. Oh, you got to come to church if you want to really hear the truth. No, the Father has sent her to speak the truth of his son, Jesus, who comes in the power of the Holy Spirit and can change lives and can change her lives, can remove away loneliness, years of hurt, years of pain, years of suffering for not being loved in her whole family, right? And Jesus comes to us and say, I love you, for the Father has sent me to tell you that. And we can accept that in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Have we prepared ourselves to preach this gospel, a gospel of rejection in this time, for the sake of others? Jesus Christ came, and he lived, and he walked on this earth. And he died and he was buried for the sake of you, in the sake of me. sake of those who have lived under the burden of this world, who sells its truth as the truth. And then how can we who know the truth sit here and not speak it when we know? You know, I've had this thought that when Jesus Christ comes back and then there are those who are going to see truth for the first time and their eyes are going to be opened and they're going to say, oh, well, Jesus is going to say, well, here's one of my kids right here, and they're going to know you. I sometimes wonder if they're going to say, why didn't you say something? I think that way sometimes. Why didn't you say something? You had the words of life. You had the gospel. And you didn't say one word to me. Didn't you love me? Don't you care for me? And I ask that question, do you love the people that God puts into your life? Do you care for them? Or are you afraid of how they're going to look at this earthen vessel, this jars of clay, and judge you and reject you? Is that the burden that you're carrying, or are you carrying the burden of Jesus, who says this is going to happen to you for my sake? I sometimes think we don't have enough action going on in our lives in this way because we haven't really done it the way we're supposed to. I mean, the scripture says when you are persecuted for my sake. And I'm talking to myself too, like Pastor T said last week. When's the last time somebody said something about me when I dared to raise my voice and say something about Jesus Christ in this world that has so many truths, so many false truths? You know, how can I sit around and not say something? You know, it's funny. This is the second time I didn't have my car towed this time, but I had my car towed 2 weeks ago. I found out my car has something called limp mode. So if something's going wrong, it'll shut down and go like 5 miles an hour so that I can't do more damage. So I'm driving to lunch a couple of Mondays ago, and my car goes into limp mode. And I'm like, what? So I wasn't going to drive it in Columbia all the way to Owings Mills, so I had it towed. And I'm in the tow truck with the tow truck driver who's a believer, born again. Loves Jesus. And this man starts talking to me like I've been lost for years and years and years. And he's talking to me. He doesn't know who I am. He's a young white guy who's got tattoo sleeves, which means he's got tattoos from his wrist to his shoulders. Got one of those big bushy beards. You know, and I'm getting in the truck with him, and I'm like, oh, you know, what's this going to be like, right? But he just starts talking about who Jesus is. He started speaking the truth to me. And first of all, I'm impressed because he doesn't know who I am. Second of all, I'm impressed because he's not fearful at my response at all. He doesn't know who I am. I'm looking at him. I'm probably passing some judgments on him. Like, what is this? And he starts to share, in this 30-minute drive, he starts to share his testimony with me. Oh, and oh, yeah, he was like that. He would tell you. He was like that, but he heard the call of Jesus in his life, and he said, Jesus told me to say this and to proclaim this message to whoever I come across with that I don't know. So I'm getting it always me, so I'm like, all right, man, all right. And I found myself rocking because he's got a cadence at this point, right? He's going, he's like, I go to this church, but I don't follow the man, I follow the message. And he starts talking about the message. And I'm like, amen, brother. He goes, I'm a believer. Thinking that would slow him up a little bit. I said, I believe, man. I'm an elder in the church. And he kept going. He kept on going. I'm like, all right. And I'm thinking to myself, man, when's the last time I've had a conversation like that? When's the last time I've had a divine appointment where I just met someone who I felt I wasn't going anywhere for 30 minutes? Where can I go? He told me back to Owings Mills. It was hot and his air conditioning was cold. Man, it felt so good. He was talking, man. And so I was like, wow, this guy really is. He was just sharing his life with me. How he was a tow truck driver and how he loved living that life. It gave him time to be with his family so that they could talk about the Lord with everybody. They went to this church and, you know, he just was talking about the message. And I was thinking, well, I think in a couple of weeks I got to talk about this. I've got to talk about the message. I got to talk about Jesus Christ and his rejection. His rejection, the very Messiah who came in the power of the Holy Spirit. and how we go in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the real message. And it just got me wondering, I'm like, wow, Jesus Christ was rejected for that. And we've been called to that same mantle, right? So the first thing we have to be doing is proclaiming, understanding that we're going in the Spirit like Jesus Christ went in the Spirit from his Father. And then secondly, we got to make sure we're preaching the gospel and understanding that we can be rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected, I don't think. Is anybody in here who likes to be rejected? I don't. We like to be loved. Right, maybe that's where the fear comes from, but it's not my truth, it's the truth. Right? Perfect love casts out fear. Man, you could just start going through, at least my mind starts thinking of all these scriptures that go counter to what I think when I don't want to do what I've been called to do. And we've been called to do this. So that when we think about Jesus Christ and we think about his rejection by his own people at some point wanted to kill him for the message. We got to think about the implications that means in our lives. Do we sit here every Sunday comfortable? Well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning at 10:30. Or do we have an experience with a truck that makes you say, oh, man, I may not be promised Sunday morning? And it gets you to thinking about why you're here, right? It gets you to thinking about the life you've been called that we've been called into. We've been talking about the power in which we've been given the Holy Spirit to move in that, to proclaim the gospel, the truth of Jesus. So I want to leave you with that admonition and that encouragement that it's not by our will, but by the will of the Father who sent Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our doing, but his doing. And he says, come. He invites us to come. And so we go. Are you going? Are we going? And then sometimes we'll find that rejection, because when we speak the truth that goes against their truth, that's what happens. Don't worry about being uncomfortable. The scripture tells us to rejoice, for our reward is in heaven. Amen?